Welcome to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast, where top football coaches from around the country share their stories, philosophies, concepts, and strategies to help you get better on and off the field. Now, here's your host, Keith Grabowski.
Welcome to the Coach and Coordinator Podcast. We are recording live at the New York State High School Football Coaches Association Clinic. And joining me on the podcast is the 2019 private state champion, head football coach at Canisius High School, Rich Robbins. Coach, it's great to have you here.
Thanks for having me. Yeah, this is great, man. Football everywhere. My kind of day.
Absolutely. So, Coach, third state championship for you. Won in 14 and 16 as well. And we'll talk a little bit really about what you guys do really all year long to be able to get you to this point and be running a strong football program like this. But before we get into that, I'd like to learn a little bit more about you and your background and I guess your journey that led you to this point to be the head football coach at Canisius.
Yeah, I was born in New York, grew up in Clifton Park, Shenandoah School District till I was a middle schooler. And then my dad had a career change, brought us to Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And Shenandoah is a very strong program here in New York. And, but the move down to Pennsylvania and the adjustment to Pennsylvania and Pittsburgh football was, pretty significant. So that was kind of the start of it for me, being in Pittsburgh and just being in that football culture and being around it and seeing, at North Allegheny was where I went to high school, which is a, big championship program down there. And, I still utilize a lot of the things I learned there, honestly, with what we do at Canisius. So that's really where the love developed. After that, played some college football, Alfred University, and ended up getting hurt. And couldn't kind of finish. So I always felt like I had an unfinished business with football. Yeah. Right out of college, I went to work for, FedEx, Airborne Express, in the shipping industry. I was a sales manager and stuff, for them for a few years and moved back to Buffalo. And I was actually playing flag football in Buffalo and was helping some of those guys out. And one of the guys on the team was coaching over at Canisius and, just asked me if I'd like to help him out. And I went over there and kind of volunteered my first year and great school, great people, great kids, just really didn't have a blueprint, just didn't have a plan or kind of the right coach or people in place to get us back to former glory. Canisius in the 70s had many undefeated seasons. They have the winningest head coach in New York State football history in John Barnes. So it was a very proud football program for a long time, but, somewhere along the way, we kind of lost our way a little bit. So I was proud to kind of bring us back and get things rolling again. So I was the defensive coordinator there for a few years. And when our head coach left and went back out west where he came from, I was fortunate enough to get the head coaching job in 2011.
And so could you mention that, right? And you're going to talk today, a little bit later, about winning championships January through August, the blueprint for that. I imagine something you've followed now and that has gotten you to the point that you've been able to win three of those championships.
Yeah, certainly. I mean, it's, when I was asked to speak at the clinic this year, and I tried to think 10 years ago what would have been valuable to me when I come to these things as a young coach or somebody just taking over a program maybe, or what would really help and be valuable. So, that's what I'm going to get into today. I'm just kind of leading guys through the off season, January through August. At Canisius, we kind of break it into phases. It's four phases, kind of broken into two-month, blocks, January, February, March, April. And in each one of those, phases, there's certainly things that we specifically address. We try to really attack our off season like a game, mm-hmm. Right? You have a plan, you have goals, and then you have to work, to carry those things out and meet those things. You know what I mean? So we really give the boys, we usually end up around Thanksgiving. We kind of give them December to rest and recuperate and, see their families and Christmas, New Year's. And when we get back, from that holiday break there, the first week of January is when we get back into the off-season program.
Yeah, and so as we record this, you are about halfway through that first phase. What is the first phase? What does that entail for you?
Our phase one, and the analogy I use with the kids a lot of the time is it's our foundation. It's almost like a house. We're going to build our foundation, got to have a strong foundation. I think January and February may be the most crucial months of the year. as you get into the summer, as you get into August, I think guys have the mindset of, you know, getting ready for the season and getting prepared for football. But I think if you waste those 60 days, you know, ahead of time, if you're not really planned out right from January 1 on, you know, you're doing yourself a disservice. So, you know, in that phase one, I'll conduct exit meetings. You know, I'll do an exit meeting with every single coach. Freshman JV varsity on my staff, I'll do an exit meeting with every single player in our program. I think it's important as the head coach that, you know, you get with each person in the program one-on-one. You know, and those meetings are, you know, with the coaches, it'll be a review of their performance and the things that I thought they did well, and maybe some areas of opportunity to improve upon, you know, with what I saw from the previous season, you know, and then making sure they're back and able to coach again, and then kind of rolling out, you know, any changes or roles, responsibilities, things like that. You know, I think it's important to meet with all those guys, make sure we're all on the same page and that we have the staff back, you know, for the next year. I've been blessed over my tenure to really retain our staff. You know, we haven't had a ton of turnover, which is huge. Because when you have to reteach a guy how we do everything, and, you know, especially at a Jesuit, you know, private high academic school like Canisius, there's some bumps. You know, our coaches have to navigate some things and be on top of stuff. So, you know, meet with all those guys. Players is more, you know, talking about their season, certainly, and with the seniors, it leads into college and recruiting and what we're planning and, you know, visits and things like that to get those guys settled into their college opportunities. Underclassmen more, obviously, you know, talking about some off-season goals in the weight room, you know, gaining some weight, putting on some muscle, you know, nutrition, just kind of cover all bases with everybody in those exit meetings to make sure that, you know, we all have a clear vision and a clear path of what we need to do.
Right. With your exit meetings, and, you know, I've done them before as a head coach. I've done them before as a coordinator, much the way you described. Do you formalize that at all? Is this written? Is it two guys sitting down? And of course, all of it, you want anything that comes out of it to be actionable, right? You want to plan from that. How does that work for you?
Yeah, absolutely. I have a template, you know, that we send. Coach and the player one's a little different, but similar. Because I think before you sit down and have that meeting, it's good to get those guys with their thoughts organized and give them some guidance as far as what we're going to talk about, what we're going to look at. And I think putting things in writing is extremely important. I'll get into my talk a little later about job responsibilities, you know, game day duties, watching the locker room before and after practice, just everything. I feel like you really need to put all those things in writing, give a job description to everybody in the organization so they have a clear-cut view of what you're looking for as the leader of the program. And it also helps me to hold guys accountable, you know, because when it's in writing and it's not just a conversation, it's now, oh, coach, I didn't know you, that's what you're saying, or that's what you were right. Now it's right here, man, number three on your list. You're not taking care of that. Makes it easier from a management standpoint at times. But, you know, that's a great point. It is in writing and has to be in writing. I think the more things you put down on paper, the better.
Coach, you finished the exit interviews, and, you know, for everybody, this is a time to get things started in the weight room, and I'm sure that's the same for you as well.
Absolutely. You know, I think it's important on a staff that you identify a strength conditioning guy. We're blessed at Canisius to have an actual strength conditioning coach, our athletic trainer. He works full-time for us. I know that's not always typical. So on any staff, I think that you should identify a guy that really takes leadership, takes ownership of that. And then certainly as the head coach, I make sure that I'm there every day. I may not be able to stay the whole time with everything else going on, but I think if the weight room's not important to the head coach, then, you know, it's not important to anybody. Same reason I'm always at special teams periods, you know what I mean? So, but really phase one for us in the weight room, the first couple weeks, is literally instructional. We'll do a lot of stuff with just the bar, you know, as far as teaching proper form, proper technique. Now, certainly some of your returning upperclassmen guys are a little bit ahead of that, but we even make them do it. You know, we just want to really make sure that everybody is understanding the movements, why we're doing it, what it's helping, how it translates to the game, and making sure, you know, with cleans and some of those, you know, things that you could really kind of hurt yourself or if you're not doing it correctly, we want to make sure our form and all that stuff is right first, you know. So first couple weeks we do that, and then we'll test. You know, we move into a testing week where we test everybody. Our workout program is based a lot off maxes and percentages and things of that nature, so we really want to get a baseline test with these guys to, you know, see where they're at, see who's maybe been working over this month or so that we've been off, who's been maintaining what we built the year before, who needs a little bit of kick in the butt, you know, and those test numbers certainly help us set the workouts. And then as we move into phase two, phase three, and we retest, we want to make sure that everybody's making that progress towards kind of building their suit of armor up as good as it can be by September 1st, when we're going to have to go through the gauntlet, you know what I mean? So, and that kind of finishes up phase one. You know, I've met with everybody. We've set some goals. We know what we're doing. We've learned how to kind of get things in the weight room. And right towards the end of phase one and almost more getting into to kind of segue into phase two, we begin kind of our classroom work. We also build in every day. You know, we'll come in, we do a dynamic warm-up, you know, get warmed up. We'll do a competitive challenge. I think it's important every day we start with some type of competitive challenge, whether it's guys hanging off the bar and who can hang the longest, and, you know, you go stand in front of the guy that you're going for and the losing group does some push-ups, or, you know, we give two guys a towel and have them kind of towel fight on the wrestling mats for it. You know, I think it gets the juices going, gets the hoot and holler going a little bit, and sets the right mindset as we move into the workout, you know. And then when we get the testing and all that stuff moving, and as we move into phase two, that's kind of, you know, we want it to get a little more competitive. We want it to be a little more tracked with how their progress is and all that stuff, so.
So looking at then phase two, and you mentioned here, getting into the classroom, talk to us a little bit about the work you guys are doing there.
You know, it's really coursework. I mean, we have a syllabus, mm-hmm. you know, for football. I have a few, you know, I've got a great staff. We got a diverse staff. I've got some guys that played in the NFL, you know, D1 ball. Got a couple guys who were maybe the backup quarterback, you know, on their high school team. But some of my guys are educators, you know, they're teachers. I wasn't a teacher by trade. I was a FedEx and, you know, did some other things with my life, as I mentioned. So, you know, the teachers on my staff really steered me towards, you know, if we expect a kid to know chemistry or calculus or whatever the case may be, why do we teach football any differently? So we have created a syllabus and kind of a coursework, if you will, where we're in the film room and we're watching film and we're chalk talking and we're going through our huddle installs, and we utilize huddle a ton. It's a really valuable tool for us. You know, and then we do give written exams. You know, you'll have a test on pass protection. You'll have a test on our routes if you're a receiver. You know, and each position group has some individual tests within their group, and then certainly the coordinators provide some overall stuff. It's, you know, we try to press our kids, if you're a corner, you need to know what the safety's doing. You know, if you're the Mike, you better know what the Will's got going on. If you're the right guard, you better know what the center's doing. So not just your own position, but we try to stretch kids a little bit and make them have a better understanding of what all 11 are doing. And those assessments allow us to really understand who's putting in the time, who's watching the film, who's paying attention, taking good notes. We've had some talented guys score out where, you know, below kind of our minimum line, which is an 85. Mm-hmm. You know, if anybody scores below an 85, they put their playing time in jeopardy, you know. And we've sat kids for that. I think you have to stick to it to make it real and to make them commit to it in the way that we want them to commit to it. Because end of the day, we want 11 guys leaving the huddle knowing exactly what their job is and what they're supposed to do. And I think the written assessments and the classroom work has been a huge help for us there.
I like that idea of having a syllabus. And I mean, I know for me, just growing up, I was like a football nerd, so I would love something like that. How have the kids responded to football class?
Yeah, I think at first it's almost kind of like when we do our community service or service projects. The first time they're all moaning and groaning, and then they ask you when's the next one, because it makes you feel good, right? When these kids now have seen that the knowledge that we have and everybody understanding, and it's obviously proven out to help us win some championships and be successful, it's good when you've had some success, because I think with things like that are a little off the beaten path maybe of a traditional football program, we get good buy-in, you know, because it's obviously proved that it works, you know.
And how much time is that for you guys, you know, the football class as you get going? I guess each session, is there work outside of it, and how many times a week?
Yeah. You know, in this phase, our calendar right now, we're going about three times a week, Monday, Wednesday, Thursday. We'll go, you know, kind of 3:30 to 5. You know, we, like I said, we start with the warm-up, the challenge. We'll get our physical work kind of out of the way in that first hour or so, because we are, you know, we're high energy, high pace in the weight room. We really want kids not static, moving in and out of things. So we get good work, and I think any longer than an hour, if you do it right, you know, you can get it in an hour and have it be good. So that last 30 minutes or so, we'll transition into the classroom and whatever the kind of lesson plan is for that day or whatever. I think any longer than 30 minutes you might be pushing it, especially after they've already been through a whole school day and then worked out, and, you know, but I think 30 minutes is right. You know, you get in, you talk about, you know, oh, just like a class almost. Here's what we're covering today. Here's what we covered yesterday. Here's what we're going to review. Hey, don't forget, we got a quiz coming up next Monday on this stuff. So, you know, it's about probably a 30-minute period each day that we kind of get into that stuff and let them know what's going on.
Outside of, you know, it is football and football's fun, how are you making sure that this is the favorite class on on their schedule, right? That it is dynamic and fun, while at the same time learning the important things that make up your offense, defense, special teams.
Yeah, no, I think just in general, because of the subject matter, right? You're going to be doing better than the geometry teacher, because they're interested, they're engaged. It's football, you know, and it's the guys that teach it too. With those sessions, I have our coordinators usually lead it, which I think gets a little bit more of their attention, because kids again we're competing for playing time, and you know they understand this is a big part about what we do. It's not just the physical; it's the mental side of things. But within it, we'll make kids go up to the board and draw things. And the kids always have some fun with that and giving each other a hard time a little bit, because I think that self-management is big. When you get called up to the board and you can't draw and then the guys all start getting on you, I think that really motivates kids to get in the playbook and learn what they're supposed to do. And, you know, we'll have kids maybe give them a little homework to come back and present something to the group. Like, we want you three quarterbacks tomorrow to talk to the whole team about, you know, our different pass protections or things like that, just to keep them engaged and give them some of the ownership of it.
So phase two, you have the classroom. What other things are included then in phase two, which is March and April, right?
Yeah. Yep, exactly. Yeah. March and April, we do the classroom work. We talked about some of that structured competition stuff with our in-house stuff. It also begins a little bit of, in Buffalo, I know, for example, for Sundays in March, they have a 7-on-7 league at the Buffalo Bills Fieldhouse. So it's fun for the kids. They like to be there, obviously, in the Bills facility. And, you know, on three Sundays, you'll get to match up with, you know, another school and do some 7-on and some offense. So, again, that's some of that organized competition now and some team-building opportunities that are starting to present themselves to get out and compete and you know, get our blue jerseys on and kind of see a different color. And I think the third and kind of final piece, and a very important piece of this, is our in-house recruitment, if you will. Okay. You know, we're at a school in Buffalo of, you know, 750 boys, all boys. And I have approximately 80 to 90 kids in the football program. Mm-hmm. So to me, there's a huge opportunity there when you're talking about 600 other kids that maybe aren't part of the football program right now. So, you know, we'll do some meetings after school, you know, like for anyone interested in football, just trying to gather information, contact info on kids. If you can get a kid to come to one workout or one team activity, usually you can, you know, we're looking to probably try to add 10 to 15, you know, kids that didn't play football last year that are a rugby guy or a hockey guy or, you know, doing some other sports or just looking for, you know, maybe something else to do to kind of bolster our numbers and get us, you know, to where we need to be. We play a lot of out-of-state competition. Being a private school, not being in the public section, you know, I have 7 games now a year that I have to go find, you know, on our own. So oftentimes we end up in Ohio, Pennsylvania, New Jersey, you know, and certainly some of these teams bring 80, you know, 90 guys to the table, you know. So the more guys we can get, you know, in Canisius jerseys, and the more guys we can hit camp with in August, I think, you know, obviously gives us the most chance to be successful. So we're really trying to recruit, you know, in-house and get those guys and interested in football.
So over this phase two, somewhere in there, usually varies year to year, but somewhere in there you're going to have spring break, Easter break, whatever it might be. How do you deal with that?
Yeah, difficult. I mean, this is where the accountability thing comes into it, and that's what we talk about a lot, being an accountable young man, right? So when you're away from us for 7, 8, 9, 10 days, whatever it is, you're down in Florida, you're here, you're there, right? Because you get the February recess, you get the April recess. So on our calendar, it simply says, you know, lift and run on your own. You know, our hope, certainly they have our workout programs. You know, we put all that stuff in writing, nutrition, workouts, right? So they have all that right on their phones or their iPads, you know, through Huddle. So it's not like you can't be at a hotel in Florida and get a run in or get some work in, but it's only going to be as good as your kids and their buy-in and what they're, you know, that voluntary compliance. You know, my hope is that when I'm standing in the weight room or if I'm out in the hallway on my cell phone, that exactly the same thing is going on. You know, that's what we've tried to build. So you hope that you can trust these guys and they go. You know, do I think they're going to work out all 8 days? No, but if we can get 4, you know, maybe push-ups, sit-ups, take a run, you know, the old Herschel Walker workout, man, you know. You do 100 push-ups, 100 sit-ups every day, you'd be in pretty decent shape. So
right.
Tough to manage, though, you know, tough to, you know, but certainly we remind them before they go about an upcoming test date. You know what I mean? I think, again, those assessments that we do, whether it be the written ones or the weight room assessments, right, there's going to be a quiz coming on some sort of playbook thing. We're going to be testing bench squat clean again. So, you know, if you're going to mess around these 10 days, fellas, we're going to know when you come back, and that's about all you can do.
Let me take a step back here, you know, through this. We didn't mention the multi-sport guys. What's the expectation for those multi-sport guys in the offseason?
Yeah, no, good question. I encourage it. I do. I want our guys to play as many sports. I want them to compete. I just think competition is so important for a young man. You're going to compete for college spots, jobs, spouses, you know, whatever the case may be the rest of your life. So I think building that competitive nature into young men early on is extremely important, you know. So I want them to go do that and compete. I think that having some different coaches, you know, different players, you get to learn different styles. I mean, I know our quarterback a few years ago was our point guard, and I think, you know, the sports helped each other. You know, skills that he picked up in basketball and his vision and kind of, you know, the toughness he gathered from football, I think those things, you know, help. You look at the draft and stuff every year, those guys are all, like, most of them are two-sport guys. And, you know, but it's tough because, you know, parents, trainers, people, you know, everybody's going to college and being a superstar, so they get tracked into one thing. You know, coach, I have to do fall baseball. I can't play football this year, you know. So I think some families take that track, and, you know, other families want their guys to compete. I've brought up almost at our school, I'd like us to have a rule where you have to play two. Mm-hmm. You want to play one, you got to play something else. I don't care if it's bowling, squash, sailing, but, right, help the school out and get on board with something else. What I do ask, though, if you are not playing basketball right now or hockey or wrestling or one of our winter sports, my expectation is that you're at our workouts. Mm-hmm. Now, if you are involved in basketball, you go and you do that, and I'm great with that. Our again, it's nice at our school we have our strength and strain. So he's still making sure those guys are getting some workouts during the basketball season. Are the basketball lifts as tough as the football lifts? I don't know. You know, the basketball coach and I can argue about that some other time. But, you know, I just don't want them home, man, playing PlayStation and Xbox, and sitting on their butts and getting fat and lazy. So if you're not in another sport, spring, winter, whatever, our expectation is that you're at our workouts and you're there. And we do take attendance every day. There's a sign-in sheet right when you come in. You got to sign in. We track attendance. We kind of break kids into teams and groups, you know what I mean? And there's a point system. I mean, if guys miss workouts, they lose points. If guys, you know, we want them to be in there, right, on a consistent, but it's tough with all the other sports, right, and kind of getting guys in there. So,
Coach, I think the other thing is worth addressing is, and I've seen this, man, I can think back, this was around the mid-2000s was happening for us, and, you know, we went the exact route of kind of squashing this by bringing a guy in to do our strength training, but we had kids going everywhere saying, oh, Coach, I'm going to go get my workout here or there, and we said, no,
right,
you're with us. You want to go get extra? Fine.
Right.
This is the minimum requirement for you guys. How do you handle that?
That's very, very similar to what we do. You know, the last thing I was wrapping up there was the point system with our kids.
Yeah.
And the point system, you make workouts, your max bench goes up, you get points for that. If you test and you went down, your team loses points. So, again, you get that accountability between the guys and holding themselves accountable, because the point system is based on who gets to pick out jersey numbers first, who gets to eat first, right? There's a lot of benefits to doing the right things, you know, because, again, I think you got to have that carrot, and they're 16, 15, you know, year olds. You got to kind of keep them on track. But, yeah, you know, we have some outstanding trainers and positional guys, you know, Wide Receiver City and Western, you know, New York Quarterback Academy with, you know, Jim Kubiak. You know, there's some outside stuff. John Opfer and his group does a great job with the speed training. So I think there is opportunities for guys that really want to take it serious and get that extra work to get the extra work. But kind of what we do is, you know, again, if it's Monday, Wednesday, Thursday for an hour and a half, that's about 4.5 hours a week, right? That's non-negotiable. You're here with us for the 4.5 hours because, again, it's more than just training. It's the team building. It's cheering for your teammates. It's being together, building that brotherhood. It's going to our classroom sessions right after the lift. So just because you're working your tail off at a speed trainer or whatever doesn't mean that you're necessarily getting everything, you know, that we need you to get. So that's just our rule. For our workouts, our time, our scheduled stuff, you got to be with us. You want to seek out extra stuff, go ahead. Can't interfere with Canisius football.
So, Coach, that takes us to May. We're into phase three, May and June. You know, school year wrapping up. The weather's getting warmer. I'm not sure in Buffalo if it's warmer yet, you know.
Getting there.
It'll be winter, but we're getting there. What's phase three look like?
You know, phase three begins. Obviously, this is kind of when school is winding down. For us, it's nice. Our guys get out a little bit earlier there at the beginning of June. So it's a lot of progress checks. You know, there'll be a bunch of written assessments there as we kind of get into the summer to see where everybody's at mentally. We'll retest everybody, you know, in the weight room and kind of see where that's at, because it really sets up kind of, we can tweak the plan. You know, as much as we have a blueprint and a plan, it changes a little every year. We're always learning, always growing. I may pick something up here right at the clinic today that makes us change something that we do. So, you know, we really kind of get into the testing and stuff. We transition more to our outside work, like you said, as the weather starts to cooperate and the snow melts off the turf, and, you know, we can get out there and start doing some of that stuff. I think maybe something that we do that's a little different is we hide the footballs. You know what I mean? We don't have those things out a whole lot. You know, we're not a big 7-on-7 school. We don't, you know, do a ton of, you know, passing and have the ball out a lot. It's really still about physical development at this point in phase 3. Phase 4, obviously, we'll start really getting more into that. But I still think, and it's not always just conditioning. It's teaching these guys how to run, you know, how to stride, how to move, how to, you know, so we really kind of break it down and continue that physical development in the weight room, our physical development on the field, whether it's hurdles and parachutes, ladders, right, change of direction, all of that type of stuff. Exactly. Yeah. Again, with the competitive mindset. A lot of relay stuff, a lot of putting them in teams and groups, a lot of, you know, whether they're carrying each other or carrying weight, or you want to continue to build that brotherhood, build that competitive attitude, really start to develop these guys' bodies, you know, outside from a speed, flexibility, you know, the things that you can't get done in the weight room when it's snowing outside in Buffalo, New York, you know what I mean? So limited ball work. We'll start to distribute equipment. You know, I think now that there's some opportunities through the summer where there's some contact camps, right, and there's some different things going on where we can get padded up and get some extra work, match up with a couple schools, do some co-practice things. So we, earlier than usual, I think a change over the last couple of years has been to distribute that equipment early. Make sure everybody's stuff fits. Make sure we have the right sizes of everything. Give them some time to get acclimated and operating in their equipment before it's August and you hand them their stuff and 10 days later you're playing a game. You know what I mean? And you don't have enough extra large helmets and this kid's thing doesn't fit like that. So I just think giving it out early has really helped us. And we really start a lot of our organized team activities. Now that school's out, and you get some more time with these guys. Because, again, at Canisius, we have kids from the city of Buffalo, Canada, you know, the Southern Tier, Orchard Park, like pretty much surrounding areas. It's a private school. We get guys in from all over the place. They didn't all grow up in the same town, right, playing Little Loop together, going to school together, hanging out together. So you, to me, the most important thing we do in the off season is this, which is our team building stuff, you know, our team retreat, you know, things like that that really get these kids to care about each other. Because – boy, I'll tell you, in my tenure, that's the most important thing. Our state championship teams, they had a lot of love for each other. They held each other accountable, you know, and they really cared about each other. And I think that's super important when it's fourth. And, you know, this year we were state championship. We went for two with no time left on the clock. And in that moment, did those 11 kids love each other enough and trust each other enough to do what we needed to do? And we did, you know. So I got to hit the offseason with a great kind of coach cliche to hit these guys with, right? Like, what would you guys have done in that moment? How many bench, right, squat, film, right? You'd have done anything for that yard and a half. So let's make sure we're working this off season with that in mind. You know what I mean? So just that stuff. And it could be going to the movies. You know, we got like a laser tag place in town, or airsoft guns, or we'll go do a ropes course, or, you know, some of those traditional team building activities. I think something we do that's a little different is our team retreat, but that's more in phase 4, and we can kind of get to that in a few minutes.
Yeah. So Coach, tying it up, phase 3, and we move into phase 4. Now it's school's out.
Oh, yeah, July and August.
You know, for coaches, I know it's fun at the high school level. I always felt like that's the time I wanted to get to, and I'm a full-time football coach now.
That's it. Yeah, but, you're not checking their grades. You're not chasing them around, and, you know, it's starting to be the good stuff for sure. Yeah.
So what's going on in phase 4?
You know, I got to tell you, July is kind of the month that I tell our families to take a vacation. If you want to, you know, get out of town, go see family, go somewhere as a family, you know, and it's tough to ask people this, but I do. You know, we have a big parent and player meeting kind of in the off season, kind of a one-stop shop meeting for everybody, just where we kind of lay everything out. And in that meeting, I just ask folks, if possible, try to take your vacation in July. Not to say that we don't have things scheduled still and some things going on, but we've just found that you really need to give families a window to do it so they don't do it when you don't want them to do it. During our mini camp week in June, that I didn't really mention, but we will do like a mini camp in June, you know, with uppers on, and we kind of, it's like a mini August camp. So when we do get to August, it's not, you know, we're already kind of rolling a little bit.
Got it.
You know, so we kind of give them that window to do that. a lot of coaching meetings here.
Right.
You know what I mean? Really getting with these guys and reviewing their job descriptions. And you got to be specific. I mean, I assign guys before and after practice to monitor the locker room. Mm-hmm. When we get to game day, there's a guy that's responsible for setting up the huddle sideline stuff. There's a guy that's responsible for, you know what I mean? You got to give those guys those jobs. So we review all that stuff with coaches. We'll do coach clinics. Right, like if our varsity linebackers coach will do like a 45-minute presentation on linebacker play, so the freshman and JV coaches can get that and be on the same page. And anybody that might have learned something at a clinic, if you want to give some input, we kind of do little mini coaching clinics, if you will, within our own staff, just to kind of get everybody on the same page. Start looking at depth chart. You know, at this point, you've had some evaluation time, certainly. We kind of know what we're looking at, and we want to hit camp with a depth chart. We're very public about our depth chart. It's a living, breathing document. It's posted, you know, for the kids every day. There's no mystery of who's where and who, why, and all that kind of stuff. I think that's important, that kids know where they're at, and it's visible, and our goals are visible, and we grade the film out, and that's visible, too. You know, don't want to be the lowest guy graded out on the defense and get, you know, teased by your teammates all week. So, you know, it's really kind of the planning and really getting ready, obviously, you know, for August when things really kind of – really start rolling, you know. Right. In August, do our team barbecue at the school, you know, 400 or 500 people. It's a big fundraiser for us, but it's also a great opportunity for all the families to get together and get to know each other, find some carpool opportunities, get to meet all the coaches, get to meet some administrators at the school, and just really break bread together and kind of have that football family atmosphere that we try to, you know, build. And we'll announce our captains and really just have a nice kind of kickoff event, you know, to get the season rolling. And then, you know, camp week is so crucial, and I know everybody's so tight on time, and you're trying to get everything installed and get it in. And, you know, two things there. One, I think if you've done kind of what we've just talked about with a good plan and some phases and building it and kind of scaffolding it up, you don't have to reinvent the wheel and do the whole thing in a rushed way in August, you know. The other thing when you get into August that we do is we take a whole camp day and do a team retreat. Mm-hmm. And, you know, what that looks like is we'll get off campus somewhere. You know, there's a few places around the Buffalo area, whether it's out on Lake Erie, there's like a place out on the beach with some space to meet. And, you know, and we'll do a full day of a team retreat. And, you know, how that looks is it's a lot of like, you know, we'll talk in a large group, you break into small groups, and you kind of give them a couple topics to look at, and you come back and share some of that with the large group. And yeah, I don't think it's anything if anybody's been to a corporate retreat or a team retreat. I mean, it's similar. It's kind of in the, again, we're at a Jesuit, you know, school, and the Jesuit and Catholics are big on, like, retreat work and doing some of that stuff. And it is, and I think that's an opportunity, again, for all of our kids who come from all over the place to realize, like, you know, my parents just got divorced. Oh, my parents just got divorced, too, and what's that like, and how are you dealing with that? Or grandma has cancer, or had a loss in the, you know, and that's where we find each other a little bit and find what else makes us tick and what else makes us, I mean, we know that we all have one thing in common, which is wanting to win games at Freaking Canisius and, right, and all that good stuff. But I think it's important through our retreat work that all these young men and even our coaches get to know each other a little better. And you know, our coaches last year, I mean, there was some deep stuff that came out in that room and why guys coach and what they've been through. And I think in those moments where maybe two assistant coaches are about to argue with each other about something, maybe they remember back to that and where a guy's coming from. So, again, the deeper you can dive into each other's lives and each other's being outside of football, I think it only helps the football side of it.
So one question that came up, phase four, you mentioned families take your vacations in July. What's the expectation for the coaches? When do they get their break, I guess?
You know, July is great for them too, you know, and honestly, we're pretty flexible with that. Again, I'm blessed. I got a big staff. I do. And we got several guys that volunteer, which is awesome because I couldn't afford them or have them if they weren't, you know what I mean? Guys that are lawyers or work at M&T Bank that just come and do it for the love of the kids and the love of football. So hard to tell volunteers and guys that I pay maybe a couple $1,000 when to take vacation,
right,
or what to do.
Right.
But, you know, again, I've been blessed to keep these guys together for a long time. They know the expectation. They know the flow of the calendar a little bit. So they may duck out for a long weekend here or there or whatever. But the nice thing is we always have coverage. You know what I mean? If our receivers guy leaves for a week with his family, we have a couple of really qualified guys that can look at his practice plans and jump in and get it going. You know what I mean? So sometimes it's like, when everybody's giving you something on a Sunday morning meeting and I got 12 dudes, you know, chirping at me, I wish we had less coaches. But certainly when a guy's kid gets sick and you got to pick him up from school, or, you know, life happens, man. And when a guy can't make it, we have plenty of coverage to jump in and kind of still get the job done.
So, Coach, I appreciate you taking the time here. We got a little dress rehearsal for this.
I got to tell you, man, I appreciate it. I'm going to be smooth as silk this afternoon now. I got to already do it a little bit. So,
but, Coach, you know, all those things, incredible detail into your off season. But, you know, with all the things you do, you know, three state championships now, what is it that really gives your program the winning edge?
Just touched on it. I think, you know, been a head coach now for 10 years, been coaching for 15, been in football for, you know, 35 years of my life, you know, in one way or another. It's not the weight room. It's not the playbook. It's do they care about each other? Are we a family? Are we truly a brotherhood? Do we really have 11 guys in the huddle when they look at each other? They can count on each other. They care about each other. I swear that I think that's the most paramount thing. And if you can build that through, again, your all the things we just talked about, your weight room, your team building, your activities, your retreat, your, you know, if you can build that, and that's what we had last year, you know. And I'll tell you, in years that we haven't been as successful, that there's been some issues with that, right? Kids in silos and some of your star players not, you know, leading right. The right way. And, you know, last year our two best players, probably CJ Aslins and Donovan Cornelius, were also our two best leaders, led by example, first guy in, last guy out, do everything right. The guys like that make my job easy as the head coach. But, you know, if I really had to sum it up, I think it's the football family we've created. I've got a diverse staff of guys from all different walks of life. I think all of our kids feel like there's a coach on our staff that they can really go to and talk to. We got guys buying food, buying cleats, giving rides. I mean, these boys know that we love them and care about them as people first, and then football players next. And I think when they know you have their back like that, they'll have your back, you know, on you know, state championship, yard and a half to go, no time left. Because I'm either the biggest idiot in the world or, you know, next day there's people, you know, hashtag Belichick. Oh, great job, Coach Rod. It's like, okay, if we wouldn't have gotten in, it'd be hashtag idiot right now. So, you know, and that's just football. You know, that's just football. It's a game of inches. I mean, it's cliche, but, God, so true. So,
well, Coach, I appreciate you taking the time here and getting to meet you. For our coaches out there, the listeners, how they connect with you on Twitter.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll give a few things. I mean, honestly, my direct phone number is 716-200-0298 at the school. Feel free to give me a buzz, talk football. My email address is Robbins, R-O-B-B-I-N-S, at KinesiusHigh.org. And our Twitter is just, you know, at Canisius HSFB. Canisius, C-A-N-I-S-I-U-S, and then capital H-S-F-B, Canisius High School Football.
Well, Coach, best of luck here as you finish up phase two and head towards that quest for another championship in 2020.
Thanks a lot. Appreciate you having me.
Thanks for listening to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast. For more resources, visit the Coach Performance Center at usafootball.com.